Bibles tonight, and we'll make this quick. I had a little change of course here in the message, and we, of course, have been talking about evangelism, a personal responsibility, and the greatest need in our world not only is helping people come to Christ, but is establishing warriors for the future. And this church is a demonstration of that, a generational work, I would say. And I do appreciate that. We don't always see that. And that has been a blessing to me to watch that and hear that. But tonight I want you to look in Acts chapter 8, if you would. The title of the message is Foreign Missions Found on Home Soil. And if you would, this is a little bit, I guess, would be a overview picture of the ministry that the Lord has allowed us to serve in now for these 15 years. But also it's a ministry that I think you will find yourself involved in. And personal, prayerful, and passionate evangelism is needed in our divided culture. And we have heard that tonight. Pastor talked about that culture division that started in our schools years ago. And we know that Satan is very good at disrupting the right path. And we are in a war. And the war has not changed since the Garden experience. And so he is after our youth because that, as we've seen in the last 30 years, we've seen the effect of the wrong message to young minds. We have the right message for young minds, and unfortunately, I think we have pulled back the frontline troops at times, and I'm so glad to see what's going on. This is the first time I've heard of Dr. Van Gelderen, but this is the first time I've really heard about that. So it's needed in a divided culture. Fake news, false people, and open deceit may have run its course for a short period of time. And I would say, not involved in politics, but I would say maybe we have a space of grace right now. Because many of us were disillusioned and discouraged with how quickly things were changing. And I realize, with me being just a little bit older than your pastor, happy birthday, Pastor, you're fast approaching my age, that things happen so quickly. And now it's time to passionately proclaim the reality of a free salvation. I don't know why it is different now, but I do think we have a space of grace. We know, if you know your Bible, it's going to get worse and worse. It's going to wax worse and worse. But that ought to give us more of a burning passion to reach those for Christ. I don't necessarily think it's age-related. Certainly for our future, if God would give us an extra space of grace, and these young men and the young people that are represented even here, we'll face some more difficult times. So let's see them come to Christ. Let's see them get grounded. So Foreign Missions Found a Home Soil, and we will start there in Acts chapter 8. We'll skip around just a little bit, but before we start, let's pray. Father, you know certainly that the message is not mine, it's yours. You've put it here in print for us so many years ago. But help us, Lord, to just take and make some simple applications. May you use it to bring honor and glory not only to yourself, but help us, equip us to be good soldiers of the cross. And as we go forth into this culture, may we have the passion to make a difference. And it comes with compassion, but it comes with being knowledgeable in the Word of God and how to handle it. So help us, Father, tonight to take these words, and they be an encouragement to these folks. And I thank you for this church. Thank you for the leadership here. Thank you for the years of planting and sowing, reaping, and then seeing souls come to Christ, Lord. May you receive the glory for it. Thank you for Rocky and your sister that has done so much for so many years. Thank you for allowing them to stay by the stuff. And bless our time tonight in Christ's name. Amen. So, what we want to start with, and we're going to talk a little bit about, remember where we talked the I guess it was Sunday when we talked about the Samaritan, right? The serving Samaritan. And this is a little bit later in time, but if you look at Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered about throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And we see in verse 2 and 3, they carried Stephen to his burial. And as for Saul, he was reckoned the church. Verse 4, and they were scattered abroad, went everywhere, preaching the word. So as they're being dispersed because of persecution, they got out of town. And the apostles stayed there. Well, that's where that church was established. But look at verse 5. Here's a normal guy, a guy named Philip, went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. So this would be another wave of evangelism coming from what was planted there by who? Christ, with the lady at the well, correct? So this is sometimes past that. Verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which were Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many were taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. So we'll drop on down through there, and it talks a little bit about what went on with Simon. We would call him a sorcerer, and then things started happening, and Philip continued to preach, and then they called the Peter and John down there, and they came down and verified that things really were going on correctly, and they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And then let's pick up in verse 26, okay? Verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, this is a journey. You remember now, Philip, he's been around. He's what we would call the traveling evangelist. Says God called Philip to get up and go in verse 26. And to me, I would say this is a definite call. God was leading Philip to go in different places, traveling. The place seemed very unlikely because he was gone from out of Jerusalem, then he went to Samaria, again, a little bit foreign territory, going down to Gaza, and that was the area of the Philistines we would know as at that time. So it did seem a little bit unlikely, and my question for you is, have you heard the call, and are you in that place where God has called you to be? Now, that might be here locally, and that's good. This is a good place to be. But has he called you to serve somewhere else? Has he called you to serve maybe in a foreign field? Has he called you to serve in a different city? The important thing is the gift of salvation is so great. Why would you not want to share it? And that's really missions. You know, it's just such a great message. If we're not sharing it, something's wrong. I don't know what it is. And that's between you and the Holy Spirit. But there's times in my life that I have grown cold. And it's not God's problem. It's my problem. So anyway, God had a particular prepared person for him to encounter. If you would, look in verse 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So this is a man of Jerusalem. Of Ethiopia. And he's going to Jerusalem. And God had a particular man of influence with great authority. Now, and I'm sure pastor preached upon this. You've heard some preaching upon it. Why would an Ethiopian be going there? Well, apparently he was on business. So he was doing some things apparently maybe he was doing some things under the work of the Ethiopian, the queen of Ethiopia. But he came to Jerusalem. So this man was coming to Jerusalem possibly on business, but this is a lost religious man. He had some knowledge, apparently, of things that were going on there. But my thought here for you would be, God has someone prepared for you to speak to. And are you going? I thought that was very interesting, a man prepared. And Philip it says he arose and went. He didn't ask questions. When God said go, he just went. That took some great faith. And look at verse 28. In verse 28, this man was about to depart his country and possibly a Christless eternity, yet wide open to the influence of Scripture. Verse 28, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. So he'd been to Jerusalem. He had apparently had some interest in Judaism. I don't know whether he had become a proselyte, whatever his choice was when it comes to religious things, but at least he had some interest. And I find it very interesting how he was seeking. And to help you with this, and I'll relate it, give you a little illustration. When we go on board these vessels on these ships laden with foreign seafarers, as I go up that gangway, and they were talking about prayer tonight, and thank you for that. That is so important. But as I go up that gangway, I'm always praying this prayer: Lord, would you please show me someone that's looking for you? I need to know who you have prepared. Because here's a picture of that, where God is preparing this man. God has his man. God sends his man. God's man has to answer and go to this place. And this is normal events of life. This is not some big deal. And it turns out to be a big deal. But this man was going back to his place. And Philip had just launched out of Samaria and headed to Gaza. God didn't tell him why he was sending there. He just said, go. So he's obedient to that. So how many opportunities? I would ask you, how many opportunities are missed because we're not looking? We're not listening. And we'll talk about that just a little bit more. And I would challenge you to be looking for this under the normal events of life. This man was going back home. But look at verse 29, if you would. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, very specific now, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So Philip was obedient in going, but now the Spirit of God made it very specific to the person to approach. And we talked a little bit about that, I think it was last night. Find a need, meet a need, build a bridge. And one of those points is to pray. And I would challenge you to bring that, and I said, I think one of the nights, I don't remember when it was, list three people and start praying specifically for those people. Maybe just pick out one and really, really, really pray. And that specific person to approach with the gospel. And it says, go near and join thyself to this chariot. I find it very interesting that to be able to do this, there has to be some sensitivity. And are you sensitive to the Holy Spirit's prompting in your witness? And I wrote down three things here that have helped me, and maybe they will help you. Very simple things. But number one, you must have a genuine desire. You must have a genuine desire to reach someone, not out of duty. Okay? Sometimes, and I would tell you, and Pastor Rocky and I talked about this, sometimes we do things because it's expected of us rather than having a burning desire to do it. Passion. We will call that passion. Secondly, you must be praying. And I would say before and during that situation. Number three, you must be Holy Spirit dependent. Okay? So many times there is canned approaches. Back in our days, when I was newly saved, we had what was called the evangelism explosion. Do you remember that term? Dr. D. James Kennedy and some of these guys, they had this 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, and here's how you do it. And it was programmed, okay? I don't think it sells anymore. I think you need to be Holy Spirit dependent. And as we go further on here, we'll listen to some of that thing, some of the things that happened. And quickly, let's go to verse 30. And Philip, and it says, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Okay? Philip was not only responsive to the Spirit's prompting, as we see in verse 30, but he went listening with spiritual ears. Remember I told you about last night, the spiritual antennas. Get your antennas up. Okay, listen to what's being said. I believe he went with compassion. And I think the other part that is good for us is don't go under pressure. So many times, we feel pressured. And if we are Holy Spirit dependent, if we've been praying for that certain person, and I think I give you an illustration about the salesman that came to our house and started praying about it. Lord, give me the right message, just like you talked about tonight. And those things happen. God brings that right person to mind, and then it don't have to be pressured. Then it can be relaxed, okay? I think it was very interesting. He used a probing question to see where the eunuch was spiritually. And I would recommend when you get to that time, with that person, find a need, meet a need, build a bridge. When it gets to that time, use a probing question. Like he said, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading? And I thought that was very interesting how he used that question to find out where he was spiritually. And don't be afraid to ask those questions. Be relaxed, okay? Rely on and relax with the Holy Spirit. Be real in your person by showing compassion while listening. That is one of our greatest needs as a Christian, is to listen and keep our mouth shut for a while. And that at times is difficult to do. Especially if you are if you are Martha, like Ken, instead of a Mary. I've got six vessels I've got to see today. That's 22 guys on a vessel. That's 132 guys. How in the world am I going to see 132 people? And you know what? He expects you to sit at Jesus' feet for a while and just relax. Contemplate that one soul. That one soul that you prayed about. Relax. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Be real in your person. Be real. That's one thing that we as Christians have a tendency to not let people see really where we are. Not only in our hurt, but even feeling, ill-equipped. You folks know what that's like. You get in situations, Brother Don has probably found himself in some places in the prison. He feels way overmatched. But how can we be hurt when the Holy Spirit is with us? But because of Philip's attitude and sincerity in verse 31, look at what it says. And he said, after he listened intently, he said, understand thou what thou readest. And listen what the eunuch says. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Okay? Because of Philip's attitude and sincerity, the eunuch explained to him his need. Had a probing question, but he was relaxed. He's responding. And an interesting part, he invited Philip in physically and spiritually. And my wife Karen and I got to go to Israel, and we went on that Gaza road. And it comes down this little hill, and it's kind of, they have carved out that road in little steps because it's very rocky. And I can see him jumping up on that chariot so he can hitch a ride, because it's some rough going. But I think that's what happens to us folks in our life. Once those people see we are sincere and we love them to Christ and we're asking questions that really try to probe where are they spiritually, we're listening, we're going to gain their, I guess, I'm not going to say it's necessarily trust, but I think some of the facade comes down and they'll start responding to your question. And we see that here. I think people are tired of false Christianity and want to see if you care. They just want to see if you care. Never, never present an attitude of superiority. I think that is a witness killer. When we want to spout a bunch of scripture, and sometimes we worry that maybe we're not saying the scriptures. Guess what? They don't know the Bible as well as you probably know the Bible. So we just need to relax with that. People are tired of false Christianity. The important thing we need to see in verse 32 and 33 is that the Word of God will do the work. Look what it says there. Verse 32, the place of the scripture we read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the place he is reading is Isaiah 53. Correct. Okay, and we think about that, and it's like, you know, when you understand how, and I would say it wasn't difficult for them because that's what they didn't have the whole Bible yet. So they knew this. They knew what Isaiah 53 meant, especially Jewish people. But here was a guy from another country, probably trying to get the truth. He needed some help. This guy, Philip, jumps up there and shows a little bit of compassion, buddies up with him and listens to what he's saying. He asks him, do you understand what's up? And then the guy says this. Look at verse 34. And the eunuch answered his question, answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or so, or some other man? So, the important thing we see is he got some scripture in front of him. And I would tell you, when you come to dealing with, I understand I'm speaking to the core of the church, and many of you have been through this experience, but the best thing I have found in my life in dealing with people that know nothing about scripture or they're searching scripture, get it in front of them. Let the Word of God do the work. And they will believe you, but it's really better if they read it for themselves. And they may ask you this question. And that's apparently what's happened here, even though the man had the Word of God. Get some scripture in front of them. Have them read it for themselves. Help them to understand that they are subject to God's wrath. And again, I will tell you that when I was led to Christ, that's what happened to me. It helped me. Because Don took me to John chapter 3, and I'm sure that I wish I could quote it to you tonight, but I cannot. So I'm going to read it for you, John 3:36, and this man, this Ethiopian eunuch, certainly had some belief. But it says verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He that believeth the Son shall not, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. When we deal with people, they need to understand that there is a payment for sin. And that payment for sin is death forever. And the good part of that is when they can read Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 5, you start getting into some of those scriptures where the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. That's one thing that's helpful with Filipino. They believe, for the most part, that the King James is the Word of God. And when you say, well, God's left a record, it's right here, that you may know you have eternal life. Really? Yes. And let them read it for themselves. The important thing we need to see is that they need to read it themselves. And look in verse 34, if you would with me. It says, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I wrote down that Philip responded to his being genuine by presenting the gospel to a ready and now willing heart, as we see in verse 35. Philip opened his mouth, and the Holy Spirit used him to apply the Old Testament to the present need, which was salvation in Christ. I submit to you You must know the scriptures well enough to apply them directly to the heart after understanding the need. Okay, that's a mouthful, but study to show thyself approved unto God, you may what? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. When that man or that lady asks you a question, what is it saying? Be able to answer them. It takes time. You need to understand the scripture. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And then we'll go quickly here to... where am I at? Okay. This is an interesting part to me. If you will look. And I'll give you a little hint about this, what happened in this story. And this was actually what happened when we were there. And Philip said, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? So when we're in Israel, we come down this, and this, we come down this road to Gaza, and there is a Byzantine chapel, there, that, they don't want you to know it's theirs, but Jewish believer guide that was taking us, and this was through Pillsbury Baptist Bible College, he goes there and gets in the sand. It just looks like rocks. And he starts rubbing the sand away, and here's some tiles with he said it was a Byzantine church at that time, that shows a man being baptized. And I thought that was very interesting. He said, no, come watch this. So he walked about 20 feet over, and there's a little thing that walks down, a little trail that walks down, and here's a pool of water. So here's the thing that Philip's dealing with. This man has enough information that he got in Jerusalem. Maybe he knew something about John the Baptist. That's what our guide was saying. He was probably there. He knew what was going on, heard the commotion of what has happened since Christ died and was buried, rose again the third day, and Peter and those preaching that we heard about last night. And he asked this question. He says, "What there's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" Now this will be a help to you. Okay, sometimes clarification is needed and further probing is required so that the lost person is clear on understanding the gospel, as we see here in this verse. Okay? Don't get in a hurry. Listen to what they're saying. Listen to the question. Make sure that they understand. The Ethiopian eunuch, for some reason, he heard the message. But when he heard that message, he interpreted it that I need to be baptized. That's not what the message was saying. Okay? So don't get in a hurry. God gives the increase, as we see last night in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Make sure the one you're dealing with understands the gospel. Make sure they understand the gospel. Because here's where Philip helped him. And he said, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's a heart belief, folks. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And then confession is made unto salvation. That is so critical that person do that. So make sure that they understand there's a degree of repentance needed in that. That they understand. And I know that some people have some confusion on that. But the repentance very simply means to me that I'm going to turn around and go a different direction. When I got saved, January 13th, 1979, it was very easy for me to see the difference from where I was to where I wanted to go when the gospel was presented to me. Why? Because if he cared for me that much, the least I could do was love him back. And I didn't want to do the things I used to do. Because he died for me. I didn't want to hurt him. So, very important that we do that. So, the result of Philip responding to the call to go was seven quick things. I'm going to give them to you. Number one, heeding the Holy Spirit's direction to the person prepared. And I would say this can be the same for us. Secondly, listening to the need. Very important when you're dealing with people. And find a need. Meet that need. Take your time. Listening to the need. Thirdly, something very important, showing sincerity and real compassion for that person. Okay? Sincerity and real compassion. Fourthly, depend on the Holy Spirit to say the right thing. So important. Canned approaches just don't work. It doesn't hurt to have a guide, but I think impromptu shows that you really care. Don't be afraid to let the Holy Spirit do all of the talking. Okay, and fifthly, clearly present the gospel. Clearly present the gospel. And I will tell you, at times there you need to stop. When you're wanting to share the gospel with someone and they're not getting it, don't pressure it. Don't keep pushing. Back up, let them dissolve some of that and go back and hit it another time. And I know that language doesn't sound right or correct, but just go visit another time. They need to understand it. Let them grasp it on their own time. We're not looking for a gun on our gospel guns, okay? We're not notching our gun. Looking for somebody, I've got to see this many people saved. No, we don't save anybody. The Lord Jesus Christ does all that. So clearly presenting the gospel. Number six, and then verifying the understanding. This is what he did, okay? He clearly presented the gospel and they verified the eunuch's understanding. So it doesn't hurt to ask some questions to help them understand what is happening. Number seven, the eunuch, he was able to lead him to Christ and fulfill his responsibility of being the missionary of God, used to bring the gospel to the country of Ethiopia. So my question is, will you go? Will you go? Philip started the world missions right from within the borders of his own country. The eunuch went on his way home rejoicing, it says in verse 39. And we'll back up to verse 38. And he commanded the church to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him in believer's baptism because he got it right in verse 37. He understood. He trusted Christ. He believed on Christ. In verse 39, when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And a little side note I put here, and he went on his way rejoicing and started the First Baptist Church in Ethiopia. And that's the last we really hear of him. And Philip went on and went on to other places and ended up going to Caesarea But anyway, Philip started world missions right from the borders of his own country. Reaching others for Jesus Christ should be our priority and reason. And we are not the reason we're not taken home immediately after trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have something to do. And it may just be a little bit. It might be, if it's just one person that's won to Christ, it's worth it, is it not? We don't have to fill the church building, but I think this is a good example that we can be on board with missions. And I appreciate the simplicity of the gospel. And when I have the opportunity, I like to use Isaiah 53 in conjunction with 2 Corinthians 5:21. And there's a great gospel presentation that can be given from those two, but I would just challenge you to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's wooing for that one person. I would recommend that you are sensitive to the direction God wants you to go. Listen. It is a lost art that we have as independent, Bible-believing, fundamental Christians. So many times, we don't listen when we should just ask a question, sit back and listen. Ask another question. Well, have you ever thought about that? Do you know if you were to die today, where would you go? Or Or do you have any doubts about that? We just want them to say yes or no. Well, ask, do you have a doubt about that? Well, yeah, I've been thinking about it. If somebody would ask me that before I was ready to be saved, I probably would have said, nah, I don't think much about it. But that's when it's time just to plant a seed and hand them a tract and go back. Go back. So relationship evangelism, that is just a little bit more of a direct route than what we wanted, than originally what that I wanted to do. But I don't know why the Lord just kind of put that on my heart about going, listening for the call, seeing the right person, asking the right questions, relax, take your time, probe. Because I think when you go with a spirit of love and care and compassion, that person will relax and tell you really what their desire is. And so I appreciate, again, just the opportunity to share with you. And I'm excited to hear what you guys are doing. And I'm a little bit off track because I'm thinking about what it was like when I was working with some of the wilds of the Rockies and some of the wilds people. And we loved youth and the opportunities. And now I'm old and I can't do it anymore. I'm sure glad God brings around young legs and young bodies to do that. But it's a war. It is a war. And we need to reclaim some territory we've given up a long time ago. And so let's do that. Let's have a passion for people. And tomorrow night, Lord willing, we'll try and finish it up and be a help to you. So, Pastor.